So I called Jim and I called from Buck's ranch. You know, it was that time in flux. I called Jim and I said, well, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen here, but I wanted to talk to you about possibilities, maybe doing some shows or whatever. He said, yeah, come to Tulsa. We'll put you on stage. So I had a booking to come to Tulsa and play. He might have called it the Tulsa Opry, but it was some sort of a showcase thing. So I met Jim. I think actually he had come to California and met me and talked to me, because I remember being at my dad's Malibu with Jim and talking to him about different possibilities. So I came to Tulsa and played, and he said, you don't have to play long, just 10 minutes, three or four songs, just knock me out. So I did Flight of the Bumblebee and Orange Blossom and Some Pretty Waltz with double stops all over. I said, so did I do okay? He said, yeah, you knocked me out. So he said, we want to book you. And then I moved out of Buck's ranch to LA area. So they were booking me and flying me like back to Florida, back to LA, back to South Carolina, back to LA. And I was spending all this time away from my children. And the whole time Jim was saying, well, you know, you could move to Tulsa. You know, it's a mecca. So I was kind of researching Tulsa. And I had been in Tulsa. My roommate from International String Congress in Puerto Rico, she was from Tulsa. Her sister worked for SAIDS for years and years. Mm. So I had stayed with her in Tulsa on my way back home to Idaho. We went all over Tulsa for 4 or 5 days, and I loved it. I thought it was a great city. So I knew Tulsa in that way, and then I did more research about the music, and they had orchestras and opera, and they had all this going on besides the country music, right, the Bob Wills. And I thought, that'd be good for my kids, and it's central, okay. Mm-hmm. So I can travel.
Central of the United States.
So my traveling, I wouldn't be away from my kids so long. And I thought, man, that sounds great. So I moved to Tulsa.
So this is about in the early 80s then that you're doing that.
I'm glad you're getting those dates straight. I want a copy of this so I can get those dates. I'm going to write my autobiography. That's my next project.
Just a little bit more about Hee Haw. I don't know how many years that went on.
I think of it roughly as 5 years.
Was it fun?
Oh, it was a blast.
We watched it. It was so much fun to watch.
Oh, I loved it.
So behind the scenes, it had to be hilarious.
It was wonderful. And Gaylord Sartain, you know, he'd always crack everybody up. He'd make some comment or make some funny noise or something and get us all laughing. But it was like a big extended family. You know, it was really fun. And there again, because I was working under Buck's auspices, it was kind of close for me. We would do Buck's 13 shows. It was always 13 shows. They did 13 shows at once. So we'd go in for 2 weeks, and we did all of Buck's 13 songs and all of the cast 13 songs and all of the cornfield 13 times. And I'd do my solo stuff. So we were in and out of there in 2 weeks with not a lot of time to socialize. But I loved everybody. They were all wonderful. Junior Samples was for real, and he and Gracie, you know, just characters. Oh, my gosh, he brought a big jug of whiskey one time, put it over his shoulder like they do. I was so shocked. I mean, he was just the real character. He was from the hills. And all of those people were so great. And Lulu, I loved Lulu. She was just always a hoot. You know, we're doing a show in October with Misty Rowe. She was always fun. And Buck Trent and me. In Bristow, Oklahoma, you'll have to come, John. October 13th.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to do more. We did it in Greenville. But, you know, it's kind of like a big extended family that has gone on.
Yeah.
I love staying in touch.
Yeah.
I'm not in real good touch with a lot of them, but some of them.
You're not consumed with money, nor am I, but Hee Haw must have brought you some revenue that was pretty good
all
for you.
All signed over to Buck.
All turned over to Buck. Mm-hmm. And then he would pay
salary.
Salary. So he would.
Every TV show we did and so forth and so on. Now, I'm getting tiny residuals, but it's not a lot.
From Hee-Haw playing.
From Hee-Haw, yeah. Yeah, that's how it was when I was under contract to Buck. We signed right there on the spot, signed a check that we'd get or a contract, signed it over to Buck. So he got everything. Well, you know, Buck had grown up really poor. Really poor. He was clamoring to get to the top. I never had that feeling. I don't know. We were just okay. We just didn't think about money that much.
Right.
But I always had what I needed. If I needed an outfit for stage, we just went and got it.
Right.
But with Buck, he clamored. You know, he was dirt poor at the beginning. So he had a different mindset. And boy, when he got it, he kept it. And that was his control. I mean, he felt in control. I've never had to feel that control. As long as I have enough to take care of what I really need, I'm okay. As long as I can play. If I couldn't play, I'd be really upset. As long as I have enough for my needs, I'm fine.